Thank the Lord for his blessings. All right, pray for Brother Josh. He's going to come and preach to us. Now, listen, you pay attention to what he has to say, okay? You young people, pay attention to this young man of God and to what the Word of God has for us this evening. All right? Amen. Come right ahead, son.
All right, so tonight we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Let's pray real quick and then we'll get into God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to get to stand here. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to get to be with these lovely people, dear Lord. Father, I thank you that there are churches that are tucked away in all these mountains, dear Lord, that still rely and trust in you. Lord, I pray that we can just serve you and just be the servants of you that you want us to be. Father, I pray that you'll just help me to move aside, and Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray that I won't say anything that I shouldn't say, but Lord, just give me the words that you want me to say. Father, I pray that you'll clear my mind so that way I can think right. Just guide my lips so that I can speak right. And Lord, I pray that really you'll guide my life so that I can live right, dear Lord. Lord, I thank you and praise you and for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in Jonah chapter 1, we see in the book of Jonah that the Lord spake to Jonah. And in verse 2, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So the Lord is commanding Jonah, go to the land of Nineveh. But we see that Jonah says, "No, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to the land of Nineveh." Now, Nineveh would have been in the Assyrian Empire. So the people of Nineveh and the people of Israel at that time, they wouldn't have got along. So it wasn't like God was saying, "Hey, go to your neighbor, witness to just your neighbor." But he was saying, "Jonah, go to the land, go to the people that don't like you. Go to the people that you've been taught not to like yourself." And Jonah's response was, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to Nineveh." Now let's look at verse 3. It says, "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So we see that Jonah rose up. He's fleeing unto Tarshish. He's fleeing from Nineveh. But really, he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. So let me ask, are we running from God? Has God commanded us to go somewhere? Has he commanded us to do something? Have we said no? Are we running? Maybe you don't know where the Lord is leading. You might even be questioning, why does God still have me here on this earth? What is my purpose here? Now, I know I'm only 25. I know I don't know a whole lot. But I know that as long as I'm still breathing, as long as I'm above ground, God has a purpose for me. And the same is true for each one of you. But if you're here, if you're still breathing, God has a purpose for you. So, and God is willing to use each and every one of us. Now, has God led in a certain way? Has he showed you the first step? And have you said no? Is God leading one of you to help in a specific area of the church? Is he leading you to witness to a specific person? Maybe a lost neighbor, lost family member, co-worker. The real question is, are we running from God? Are we running from the Messiah? Are we serving him to our fullest capability? Now, verse 3 says, "So he paid the fare thereof." So we see that Jonah had to pay his own way in order to flee. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I truly believe that if Jonah would have gone straight to Nineveh, there probably would have been no out-of-pocket cost, at least in the long run. God probably would have reimbursed him in some way, shape, or form. But Jonah decided to run, so he had to pay his own way. So, the quote is that Sin will take you further than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. We see that to be very true here in Jonah's life. So Jonah traveled longer than he wanted. He went half the way to Tarshish, then back to Nineveh. He stayed 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. I think that's longer than anybody wants to stay in the belly of a whale. And he had to pay his own way. Now, Jonah decided he was not going to obey God, and he decided to run. Now, verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Now, because of Jonah, God sent a great storm. But he was so comfortable doing what he wanted, he was so comfortable running from God, that he was fast asleep. So let me ask, do we even realize if we're not in the presence of the Lord? So over in Judges chapter 16, verse 19, it says, "And she," talking about Delilah, "made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times before and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." So here in Judges, we see that Samson didn't even realize that he was no longer in the presence of the Lord. So let me ask again, do we realize if we aren't in the presence of the Lord? Or are we like Jonah? Do we even care? Are we fast asleep? Now back over in Jonah, verse 6 says, "So the shipmaster come unto him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not.'" So let's just notice that even these lost men, they seen the need for the help of the one true living God. They said, "Jonah, call upon thy God, because we're in need of help." They said, "Jonah, ask thy God if he will spare our life." So their God that they've been praying to, they weren't doing the trick. So they got to see that only the true living God can calm the winds and the waves. Only the true living God can save and protect. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. We take it for granted that we serve the true living God. We serve the God that created the universe. The God that is able to calm the winds and the waves. Now verse 7 says, And they said every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose causes this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? For whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou?" So the people in the ship, they find out Jonah's the problem. And they start grilling him. They start saying, "Hey, who are you? What are you doing here? Where did you come from? What is your reason for traveling? Why have you put us in harm's way? Why have you caused the wrath of God to come upon us?" Now verse 9 says, "And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." So these men have to be thinking, "Jonah, you know the one that created the sea and the dry ground. You know the creator of the universe, and yet you think you can run from him?" These men have to be questioning, why would you do something? I have to be thinking, who is crazy enough to run from the creator of the universe? Who is crazy enough to run from somebody that can put them in a storm as great as the one that they're in? And for those of us here, what makes us think that we can run from God? We can't. Now verse 11 says, "And they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempest. Now Jonah, he could have done a number of things here. He could have repented to God. He could have had the men turn the ship around. Now verse 13, we see that the men tried to turn the ship around. Verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempest against them. So the men tried to turn the ship around, but the problem was Jonah, he didn't turn his heart around. He didn't turn his heart back to God. Now verse 12 says, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now I truly believe that Jonah knew the only thing he could do to calm this storm was to turn his life over to God. And for those of us, if we're breathing, God does have a purpose for us. And the lesson we can learn from Jonah's life is don't run from God. But what did Jonah do here? He said, throw me into the ocean. Now, based off the end of the story where Jonah was upset that people got saved, I believe this decision to be thrown into the sea was not him submitting to God. It was him saying, I would rather die than do what you want, God. I'd rather do anything else possible than serve you. So the men tried to turn the ship around, but Jonah hadn't turned his heart around. Now, if these men would have got the ship turned around, if they would have got it back to dry ground, I believe Jonah would have just got on another ship, gone again, tried to flee again, because in his heart, he hadn't submitted to serve God. And for those of us, we think, that's crazy. Why would you do that? But the truth is, most of us do that anyways. God will put us through a storm. We say, God, I'm gonna turn my life around. We get out of it. We jump right back into whatever it was we were doing before. And we don't submit to God fully. Now, so are we so against doing what God wants for us? Are we so against doing what God wants us to do that we would do anything to keep from serving Him? Is that us? And you might say, Josh, we've served our time. But again, I say, as long as you're here, God has a purpose for you. And I know I don't fully understand. I know I'm still young. And I hate to tell you how to live your life. But I want you to see that as long as you're here on this earth, you have a purpose. Now, my grandmother, she passed away a couple months with Parkinson's. And towards the end, she couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. And her only way of communicating was she would type out words on a tablet. And even then, it was all the effort she could put forth to ask a question. And you might think, why did God keep her here in that situation? Well, the truth is, she was able to witness to ones that I would have never been able to witness to. The example she put forth, trying to witness to her nurses, trying to witness to my family members, had a greater impact than anybody else ever could have. So we think, why would God keep her here in that situation? God has a purpose. Now, I want to stop and tell you a story that goes along with the story of Jonah. It's a story about a young man born in a small town, grew up in a godly home, come to know Christ at a young age. Later on, God called him into ministry. But this young boy was like Jonah. He said, Lord, I don't want to serve you. I want to do what I want to do. He said, I want to go the opposite way. So this boy got to the point that he didn't want to do anything that had to do with God. He was still living in a godly home, having to play the part, having to act the act. So at home, he was trying to be, you know, that good godly kid that his parents thought he needed to be. But at school, out away from home, he was living as wicked as he could. Inside his heart, he was running. So God was leading one way, and this boy was going the opposite. And it finally got to the point that this boy got swallowed up by a beast. Not a beast that is an animal, but a beast that is the sin of this world. This boy was so deeply involved in sin, he was involved with people that many of us would fear. Go to locations that many of us would avoid. And it got to the point that this boy was miserable, but he was stuck. had no way out. Because these aren't the type of people that you can just up and disappear from. It's not the type of location you can just up and leave without some kind of consequence. This boy seen no way out. And this boy lived at rock bottom for many, many years. But one day God seen fit to remove this boy from the situation he was in. Remove him from the people he was around. And if you ask the boy what happened, he can't give you a real answer. But one day, these people he called his friends, they kicked him out. They said, "You don't belong with us. Leave. No consequences on our part." So that lifestyle that doesn't normally let people leave, those people that don't normally just let others out, they one day decided this boy didn't belong and told him to leave. So in the terms of Jonah, they spit him out on dry ground. Now we see in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now this other boy, it's me. I was stuck in the belly of the beast for 8 years of my life. But why is that? It's because the people I chose to be around. It's because despite the fact that I didn't like where I was, I didn't want to turn back to God. I wanted God to fit my mold. And that doesn't work. God doesn't fit our mold. We have to be willing to submit to God. So God allowed Jonah to come out of the belly of this well. God allowed me to come out of the belly of this beast. And thankfully, we serve a gracious God. We serve a God of forgiveness, God of grace and mercy. God seen fit to remove me from that situation. Now, I have a question I want to ask you. Are you living for God? Or are you like Jonah, who turned his back on God when God asked him to serve him? Some of you might know right now where God wants you. You might know what God wants you to do. But are you willing to do it? The question is, are you willing to follow God to the end? Or are you going to run? Are you going to do anything possible to keep from serving God? When I ask this question, it makes me think of the men on the ship that have to be thinking, what makes us think that we can run from the creator of the universe? So again, my question is, are we living for God? Are we willing to submit to him no matter what he wants us to do? Or is he going to have to chase us? Now, some of us here know what God wants us to do. We might be doing that. But the question is, Are we being the witness that God wants us to be? Are we telling others about Christ like we need to? God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to tell others. Maybe God hasn't called you to go to some foreign land. That's fine. But it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what God has called you to do. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. It doesn't matter if you're retired. We're all supposed to be telling others about Jesus. What he did for us. Now, Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them." So we see all the people in Nineveh got saved. Jesus even talks about it in Matthew 12, verse 40. It says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the well, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." So we see that all the people in Nineveh got saved. So the result of Jonah going where God told him to, many were saved. Many received forgiveness because one man went. But are you willing to go? Again, it doesn't have to be some foreign land. We need people sharing at our back doors. We need ones willing to share with our neighbors, ones in our communities. And I want to give you a statistic. In today's time, 106 people die every minute, most of which dying and going to hell. So let's just assume that the death rate in the time of Jonah wasn't any higher. The same percentage of people were dying. So we'd have about 8 people dying every minute in the time of Jonah. So if you do the math, it comes out to 34,500 people would have died in the 3 days that Jonah ran from God. 34,500. Most of which dying and going to hell. Now, not all of these would have been in the land of Nineveh. But some of them would have been. And Nineveh was in the Assyrian Empire. They had a great influence on the places around them. So if Jonah would have went to start with, some of those that died during those 3 days, they could have got saved. Those people that they had influence on, they could have got saved. So if Jonah would have gone straight to Nineveh, he could have witnessed to some of those that died and went to hell. Now, looking back at my life, I ran for 8 years. In 8 years' time, 448 million people would have died all over the world. And I don't say that to dwell on the past, but I say it because it makes me strive to work harder in the future. Each day I think, what am I going to do to serve God? What impact am I going to have on the world around me today? Now, in today's time, 153,000 people die every day. But the thing is don't let that just be a statistic. Those are people's family members. Those are fathers, mothers, children, dying and going to hell. What are we going to do to reach those people? What are we going to do to impact that number? Do we even care that ones are dying and going to hell around us? If we were to reach out, we could make a difference. But the problem is, most are doing nothing. They think going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is good enough. They don't ever give any more time to God. So what are you going to do to serve God? Are you willing to give your life to God? If you're not saved, are you willing to accept Christ as your Savior? Because if you're not saved, you're definitely not going to do anything for God. You're definitely not going to have an impact on the world around you. So, if you are saved, are you willing to reach out to the world around you? Because if one person tells another, that one makes two, two makes four, four makes eight makes 16, and so on and so on. So by us starting, taking the first step to reach out to the world around us, sharing the Messiah, Jesus Christ, with those around us, we can have an impact. We can make a difference. But will we? So again, let me ask, are you living for God? Are you saved? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Or are you like Jonah? Are you going to turn your back on God? Or are you going to run? And are you willing to be a witness for God? Are you willing to reach out to those lost souls that are dying and going to hell?